As we get started today, I want to share a couple of testimonies with you before we get into the Word of God. This week has been a remarkable week in terms of our minds getting blown. Just last week, we had one of our ministers was on the job. Somebody say on the job. They weren't in church. They weren't ministering. They were on the J-O-B. And in the office, one of the ladies literally dropped dead on the job. When she dropped dead on the job, one of our ministers walked over, and she knows, like she knows that God is not a God of the dead, but a God of the living. Daggone it. And if I'm in the room and somebody drops dead, they better get ready to brush off their pants because God is showing up. So she bent down and she prayed for the lady, and everybody was calling the ambulance because this lady gone, G-O-N-E, gone. And she prayed and the lady woke, came up out of it, and everybody began to shout. Now hold on, hold on. The lady got up and went dead again. Boom. What do you do when the first prayer didn't work? If he did it once, she kneeled over and prayed again and said, I didn't say you could die. You shall live and not die. And came back to life in front of everybody. Come on, Jesus. That's everyday people doing extraordinary things. That's our theme for 2019, ordinary people doing extraordinary things. I have before me three letters. This first one comes from Lake Medical Imaging, the second one from them, and the third. On the first one, dated November the 9th, 2018, it lists one of our members having a lesion on his left thalamus that's in his brain. And because he was having these tremendous headaches. And so if you understand what that means when you have a lesion on the brain, that is dire and critical. Well, he came to the altar because he said, the last time I came, I had senior cancer. And they had written the ticket off, and I came to church, and they prayed for me. And when I went back to the doctor, they couldn't find the cancer anywhere. So what do you do if it happens again? You. This time it wasn't cancer, it was a lesion on the brain. So he comes to the church, and we say, well, hey, if he did it before, he can do it again. And so we laid hands on him, and he went back to the doctor. Well, that was test one. Test two was on November the 21st, and they said, hold on, we've got a problem here. They said, here's what they discovered when they did the second MRI. There is no abnormal enhancement within the left thalamus. They didn't believe it, so they prayed. They went and did another one. And it reads, no occlusion, focal stenosis, or aneurysm within the circle of the willow. It's not there. Somebody give God some praise. Look at your neighbor and say, you're armed and dangerous. God isn't building a pulpit. He's building an army. Hello, somebody. You are part of that supernatural army that exists. You're part of that army that makes the difference in the house. We've talked about how that we've been reading out of the book of Ephesians about who we are and what God has done for us. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, if you would turn there, it talks about the fact that we are the ones who should put on the whole armor of God. And it talks about that we sit in heavenly places. How do we know this? It says, having done all to stand firm. And this is what we find in Ephesians. And we found that the word stand firm comes from the Greek word thronos, where we get the idea of a throne. A throne is not to stand firm is not a posture, but it's a position in Christ. Meaning no matter what I'm going through, when I stand on his word, I am standing in heavenly places. That means whatever I speak, he's already given me authority to do what he told me to do. And so we've read about the power of our position in Christ, that even though we may not feel like it, even though it may not seem like it, you don't operate off of what you see. You operate off of what you believe. And to prove that true, I want you, everyone, to stand up. Please, everyone stand up. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you how convincingly true this idea is that you operate off of what you believe. Sit down, please. I said, sit down. Sit down. Some of y'all just scared to death. Y'all trying to trick me. You can't trick me. All right, let me help those who are still standing. Today wasn't the day. I wasn't trying to get you. Here, they know me too well. I'm like, I'm not going to sit down. Listen, why did you sit down? No? No? Why'd you sit down? Because you knew that chair was going to be there to hold you up. You believed that you could sit down on it and it wouldn't break underneath your weight. That's a faith activity. If you ever sat in a rickety chair, anybody ever sat in a rickety chair? Y'all don't got faith for that. Y'all be like, oh, no, I'm going to sit over here. I'm just going to stand in the corner. That means you have no faith in what you're putting your weight on. See, when you believe in Jesus, you're putting your weight on something that you believe. Listen, it ought to be just as natural as you sitting down in that chair. You didn't look to see if it moved. Oh, man, God ain't with me today because I don't know. When you sat down, it didn't take into account how many sins you did yesterday. The chair is the chair is the chair is the chair. Though we abide unfaithful, yet he abides faithful. It ain't based on you. It's based on him. He's unmovable. So when you sit down, you don't think in your mind, well, was I good today? Because if I'm not good today, the chair won't hold me up. Let me say something to you. God's character cannot change. You can trust him whether it's a good day or a bad day. If he says, I'll forgive you of your sins, take him at his word. If he says, speak the word, then speak the word. If he says, stop, then stop. If he says, go, then go. Let it be as natural as you sit in that chair. Every day we sit in a chair and we give more faith to our chairs than our God. That's crazy, especially if it's a hard chair. See, we have to begin to believe that our position in Christ is because he gave it to us. And like Christmas, he doesn't take it away. It's a gift. And so when God gives you a word, you can stand on it, positionally sit on it. You can believe it. You can trust in it. And what he said he will do, he will do. So every word spoken in the gospel concerning who you are and what you can do, you could stand on it, sit on it, sleep on it, roll on it, jump on it, and it will never break. I want you to understand why this is so very critical. It says, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, start at verse 13. And for those of you who are wondering how I'm walking through this, I'm going backwards through the gifts, the armor. We talked about the shield or the helmet of salvation. the need to govern your mind by the words of God, what salvation has brought to you, so that you're not always operating on what you were told or how your experience was brought up or what you think church is about. Until you learn his word, until you know who he is. And he says, if my word abide in you and you abide in me, you will be loved of me and you will be loved of my Father, and we will manifest ourselves to you. Who wants a manifestation of God? Amen. Matter of fact, I see my dear friend Stan from Harvard. God bless you, my friend. Welcome back. Let's give him a hand. He had a great miracle himself. Let's read verse 13 and go from there. Let's all read together. Go. It's telling you that if you believe God, after the battle is over, didn't say the battle wouldn't form. Weapons formed against us shall not prosper. It didn't say that it wouldn't form. You have to experience God somehow. If everything was easy, you'd never see him in the mix. You'll never know what was God and what was real, what wasn't God. You've got to be in a situation where your hands are tied. And if God doesn't come through, then you can't get through. Hello, somebody. But you cannot worry about those circumstances. Those are setups for step ups. That means if you get a situation that's tough, praise the Lord. The tougher it is, the clearer God becomes in your life. It's a reality of the believer that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We know that all things work to the good of them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. You have to believe it in the salvation of your mind. Put on the helmet that protects you from the enemy's blows that tell you, God ain't gonna do it. You can't make it. You're not gonna make it this time. He did it before, but he won't do it again. Well, the devil is a... Thank you so much. He's a liar. Been so from the beginning. Telling people what God can't do. And I'm here to tell you, he can do it again and again and again and again. Let's read on. Verse 14. Verse 14. Ephesians 6, 14. Let's all read. Go. Keep going. Read. Stop. What does it say? Stop. What's it say? Hold up. Hold. Y'all, I just hear faith. Well, who keeps going? No. Hold up. Wait a minute, I believe that God is in it. No, I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. I make myself laugh. Anyway, hold up. Hold up. Hold up your shield of faith. You got to hold up your shield of faith. In other words, number one, there's an assumption that you have one. Hold up yours. Do you hear what I'm saying? Everybody in here, there's nobody shieldless. You go, well, I don't have what he has. I didn't ask you to have what they have. You have to use what you have. And every man has been given a measure of faith. So hold up your shield. What that means for you in reality is there's no weapon that can form. What you have is enough. Now, here's what I've got. You're going to like this stuff. See? This is what a real Roman shield looks like. Okay? It's not what you typically would think. It's like a rectangle. Round it. Right here is where your fist goes. On the inside, you can hold up your shield. It's a way for you to deflect what the enemy is doing and still have the ability to fight with your sword. So I want to go look at the verse again, and I want us to read it like a Roman soldier. Paul, growing up under Roman society, saw these soldiers all the time. But he used it to say, listen, if you want to survive after the battle, you have to be fully armored. You are armed and dangerous, but it's not with weapons of this world. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strong. So when he uses a physical reality to give light to a spiritual reality, we need to pay attention. So Paul says, hold up your shield. Read it again, everybody. Man, I love the echo, but let's try it again together. Go. Let me help you, church. In addition to all of these, now, this is interesting. Many years ago, the way you read stuff, you never truly understand the significance of some things that you read. Many years ago, I was on staff at a local church, and God told me, all I want you to do, I don't want you to try to tell everybody that you know the Bible, you're able to lead people, you've got to come from a church, and so you've got experience, and you start dropping your resume, and you're hoping that through your works you can elevate in the church. No, he that humbles himself under the mighty hand of God will be elevated in due season. You don't want to be elevated by your own hand. So I remember going to God and saying, God, I'm at this new church, and if they're feeding me the word, then I need to serve somewhere to help this church grow, because I need to exchange something for the great word that they're giving me. And so I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says, I want you to go pray. And I remember saying to myself, pray? Man, that's like the no fun zone. You know, I'm having trouble praying at home. What do you mean? Pray. Go pray at the church. And he says, I want you to go pray. And I remember saying, are you sure, God? And I went to sleep that night. And in my dreams, I saw the pastor's wife come on the stage with the choir. And they were wearing these god-awful peach clothes. I mean, listen, even in my dreams, it was dreadful. And I was looking, going, why are they wearing peach? And then they called me to the front, and they took this peach god-awful jacket. And they said, here, Steve, and they put it around me. And they said, it's the mantle of prayer. And I was like, ugh. You know, maybe the mantle of prayer could have been a little snazzier, you know what I mean? Polka dots or something like that, you know? But no, it was this god-awful peach. And I remember waking up going, what did I eat last night? And that was on a Sunday morning. And I went to church that morning, and I couldn't get this thing out of my head. Why that peach? That is like, that don't even make sense in a dream. And I'm sitting in the back of the church, and the service begins, and out comes the pastor's wife with the choir, and guess what they were wearing? God-awful peach. And I was like, and I jumped up, and I ran to the usher, and I said, hey, does this church have a prayer group at all? Anything like that? He goes, well, funny you should say that, sir. I'm over prayer, and we meet over in the corner of the building right over there every Sunday. Would you like to be a part? I said, yes, and I ran back to my seat. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, god-awful peach. We're going to be wearing it. Well, over the next couple of weeks, I would join them before service and pray for my church. We do that here. What time we meet? We meet here at 8 o'clock. They come in this room and they pray for God's manifestation inside the house of God and for the flow of the word of God so people can come to know him. But I would go there every Sunday morning and I begin to pray. And it didn't elevate my name. It didn't elevate my status. It didn't tell people about my experience. But it was what God told me to do. And so I'm praying and praying and praying. And what started to happen was this. Every night before church service began, I would have a dream or vision about our church. And I would see things happening in our church leadership that I had no privy knowledge to. And so I would come to church the next day, talk to the pastor and say, "Pastor, here's what I dreamed last night." And he would break out in tears. And every day I would come and do the same thing. And every Sunday that would happen, time after time. How many know God wants to meet you in prayer first? Amen. Listen to me. The more you spend time in God's presence, the more his presence will rub off on you. God wants to use you to help somebody. But if you're not in position to hear, it's going to be very hard to help. And I remember this one dream that I got. It blew my mind. I remember it's about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was in the back of a cave. And while sitting in the back of a cave, it was completely dark. All of a sudden, there was a bend in the cave out to the front. I couldn't see how you went out. But then all of a sudden, this light became very bright at the entrance of the cave. And at the entrance of the cave, they came around the corner. And as they came around the corner, the light got brighter and brighter. And I'm sitting in the back of the cave. And two men full of light walk into my presence. They were angels. Big angels stood there with me. And they looked at me and they say, "Stephen, we brought you something." And they handed me, now remember this, I have never studied or looked at what a shield looked like. They came and handed me this. I had no concept of a Roman shield before in my life. But they said, "Hold this shield, Stephen." And he says, "And when you go outside, hold it up over your head." Now, I didn't understand what that meant, but I got up in the dream, believed the angels, and took the shield, walked to the mouth of the cave, and held it up over my head. And I saw this enormous black cloud over the front, and I understood spiritual warfare. Well, I didn't know all that the dream meant. So that next morning, I went to my pastor and I said, "Pastor, here's what I saw in my sleep." And I explained the dream to him. And he went to crying. Why? He says, "Because I had just studied the Roman shield." And most of us think when you hold a shield, you hold it like this only, because someone's coming at you. But remember what the verse says. Taking the shield of faith, hold it up so that you may what? Put it up again. Watch this. Hold up like I'm holding up right now. Hold up the shield of faith. So what? To stop the fiery what? Not swords. How do arrows fly? When they shoot arrows, they shoot like this, and they come down from above. So when God said, "Hold up your shield," it meant it was going to hit the shield from above. The pastor had just studied that, and he began to weep, because he realized that his church was under spiritual warfare. It wasn't coming from the ground troops. It was coming from above. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the things that you think are people, They're not people. That's why you got to stop fighting people. If the Bible says that the heart of a king is in the Lord's hand and he can turn it like a river any way he wants, then your answer is not fighting the river, but to talk to the God of the river. Hello, somebody. Praying by holding your face shield above your head says, no matter what hits my shield, I will not give up. I will not give in. I will fight because I know I don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. I've got a fight. That isn't in this world, but it is in the supernatural. But if I can hold my faith when trouble comes, anything on earth, I'll be ready for. Here's a reality, ladies and gentlemen, that the first line of defense the enemy shoots at anybody is arrows. Because if they can wipe you out on the easy stuff, you'll never be ready for when it comes to hand combat. It's the first line of battle. What am I saying to you, church? I'm saying this. Don't get knocked out in the first wave. What I'm saying to you, church, is this. The way that you keep yourself from getting knocked out is faith. Did you hear me? Faith. Belief in the unseen to give evidence to you that he's real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, yet it is the God. I don't pray just to pray. I don't pray to make myself feel good. God, I need proof. Do you think I could survive as a pastor if all I did was just pray and never see the proof? Somebody lied to us and said, well, you can't, God, you just have to have faith in. No, God gives me evidence. Come on, somebody. Why can't I demand the evidence he promised? God said, when, remember Elijah? They said, okay, you have a God and we have a God. And he said, listen, let the God who responds by fire, let him be the real God then. So here's what they did. They did everything humanly possible. They were like, oh, yo, 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 come and save us. Oh, yo, yo. They cut themselves and they were bleeding everywhere. They had no napkins. It was a mess. They were crying out from day to the evening, asking God, their God, Baal, come, Baal, you're real. Show this man of God that you're real. Oh. And here's Elijah. I love Elijah. Elijah's so laid back. He says, what's happening, y'all? What's wrong with your God? He on vacation? He had to go to the bathroom. Is that what it is? Read the Bible. It's pretty tripped out. He goes, where is he? Is he deaf? And they're getting madder. Whoa! And they're cutting themselves and everything. And he's just laughing. He goes, okay, all right, stop, stop, stop. Let me do this. He says, let's get that bull. We're going to have an oxen put on there. We're going to sacrifice it. But before we do, I want you to put water on it. So they take all these buckets of water and dump it on the rocks and on the sacrifice. And the other ones are saying, I can imagine the guy bleeding like, hey, can I leave? I tell you, I don't feel good. <You're> like, do I have to stay through this whole thing? No. And they're pouring water on the sacrifice. And he goes, okay, you got it wet enough? Yeah, just so nobody knows that it's not dry. So he walks off and he says, God, if you be the God that I serve, answer me by fire. Whoosh! It not only came out of heaven, but it licked up all the water on the sacrifice in the sight of all the unbelievers. You think God doesn't want to prove something in front of people? Do you believe your God is that petty? He wants to prove himself strong in front of people that they might believe. That's the God I serve. I don't serve one of them Jesus bobbleheads where his thumb's always up and he does this. No, I serve a Jesus who shows up in a hospital, shows up on the job, shows up in a service, shows up in my house, shows up in my dreams, shows up. Who do you serve? My God is a God of fire. Anybody with me? Let me see a poem. Our God is a God of fire. And we let the world tell us, have your little liturgy and go home. I don't believe in that. And neither should you. If you ain't experienced God this way, read his word. Make it a point to get in the word until you believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're uncertain of anything, get in the word until you're certain. And he'll manifest. Listen, you keep his commandments. He says, I love you. My daddy, I love you. And we will manifest. No other religion in the entire world can take that statement as fact. I want to manifest. How many want a manifestation of God? I'm going here to tell you as we get ready to close, God ain't a respecter of persons. God ain't here just to prove it among people on the stage. And I keep saying it till I go to glory. He's come for you. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, he's coming for you. Turn to the other side and say, he's coming for you. Take up your shield of faith. Some of you in this room are struggling because somehow you've forgotten that you are spiritual. And so you fed your natural body, but not your spiritual one. You're starving. Jesus said of his word, my word is spirit and it is life. If you feel like you don't feel the spirit and you feel like there's no life, then the answer is the word. You're struggling because you stopped studying, you stopped reading, you stopped thinking it was real. You stopped believing that this stuff could happen. And so you put it all for, I'll be all right today. I'll be all right today. But the Bible says, meditate in his word day and night. Then shall you be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who brings forth its leaf in its season. You'll never be out of your season. And some of you are feeling discombobulated. You're wondering, where am I going? Am I going? Am I coming? Listen, be planted. Make up your mind what you're going to digest. Is it MTV, BET, VH? Boy, that's old. That is old. What are you watching? What are you digesting? You tell when I cut it off. You've got to get to a point where you just believe me. That all your doubts will be answered. If you just take the word, a little bit of time of your life, and build your shield of faith. You won't need as much counseling. Do you hear what I said? You'll love your mate a whole lot more because you won't be blaming them for everything. It won't be your boss that you got to please anymore, because you realize who's the source of your income. You won't have to be afraid at night when you sleep. He'll encamp his angels around you. I'm not talking fairy tales. I'm talking a truth that I have both seen and heard and experienced. And I want you to have it if you'd only believe. If you'd only believe. Every person has the right to draw down from this great inheritance in Christ. It's not just to see miracles. It's to be a miracle for someone else. You need one another. But you need one another full of the word. What's wrong with encouraging one another? How's your reading going? How's your study going? Do you know him better today than you did last year this time? Can I help you? How many have taken my class, disciple, master discipleship? Stand up, please. This was a course to teach you the foundations of your faith. I want you to look at the people who took my course. If you need somebody to help you, look at them. These are people that are willing to do a Bible study with you. And we need the entire church to be able to stand up and do the same thing. What if we all have that sensitive understanding of Jesus Christ? Woo! Woo! You may have your seats. As we close today, I want you to understand, whether you know it or not, you're armed and dangerous. All you have to do is throw up your shield. Don't let the enemy take you out from above. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't let anybody drive you from church. Don't let a person drive you out of your seat in a church. If you see somebody say, "This is my seat, you sitting in my chair," you already know they're broken. Have mercy on them. Go get another chair. Let them have it until they get mature. Right? That's how it works. We love each other. We got crazy family members. But you got to love me anyway. When I make mistakes, you got to forgive me because you're Christian. Let us all stand to our feet. We thank God for the miracles that have happened in the midst of us. We're expecting to see more. As people catch hold of faith, they're happening all over this building. We want you to be part of that story. Go to our website, www.thefrontierchurch.com. Tell us your testimony. Let us know what Jesus has done for you. And if you haven't had it yet, start asking for it so you can be a part of the story. There's a joy that goes along with experiencing this stuff. It makes you passionate about him.